Hello, this is Aaron at powerpopaholic.com. We're interviewing Onesie lead singer Ben Haberland. You know, this Brooklyn band came out with a new album called Leo's Consommé. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm good. It's funny we're talking about pronouncing my last name. People have been saying Consommé, but I thought of it as Leo's Consommé, but I love Leo's Consommé.
Okay.
You know, as soon as someone said that, I was like, oh, that's even better than I thought. So we might have to go with your version.
All right. That's fine. Either way, it's good. It's a great album. I was really glad to hear it. And because you're a relatively new band on the scene, I wanted to know if you could give me a little background into how Onesie got started.
Sure. So I've been in bands in the New York area for many years now. I started playing music in like the mid-90s when I started college. I moved to New York after college in Albany, and been here since about 2000. I've been living in Brooklyn or a couple years in Queens, but I've basically been playing music since then. Onesie is really the first band I've done that is really just my songs, and not really, like, usually I've kind of done a collaboration with another person where we're sort of splitting up, you know, the writing and the arranging. And
right,
this is the first thing I've done that's really just like I demo things at home. My partner Zach is highly involved, but again, it's really just like I kind of arrange all the parts and present them. And there's been like a few lineup changes, but we kind of see it as kind of like, you know, it's like any solo record of someone. Like every time a new album or tour comes around, it might, you know, the lineup might shift around a little bit depending. So it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like that. I've been doing this kind of music for a long time. I was in a band called The Isles that ended about 10 years ago. That was pretty similar to Onesie in that it was, you know, kind of rocking, loud, power pop stuff, probably a little more in the Britpop realm. I didn't sing any of the songs. We had a different singer, but I wrote most of the music.
I see.
Yeah, when that ended, I kind of went into a career phase where I was sort of phasing out of recording and touring a little bit and really doing bands part-time and playing in other friends' bands, you know, which I still do now. But over the last few years, I really got the urge to get these songs out. And yeah, that's what Onesie is.
Very good, very good. Well, can you tell me a little bit now about who your main influences are? You know, you have a pretty good melodic hard rock style. So who would you say has been one of your biggest influences? And you could pick three or four.
You know, it's funny, actually, seeing Steve Malkmus's solo stuff, seeing his band live kind of gave me this idea of, like, they kind of play in all these different styles, but it's all very catchy, and it kind of feels like it's coming from the same artist, even though, you know, they can do like a straight up power pop song, they
right.
can play a really heavy kind of song, they can play like weird Steely Dan kind of songs, and it all kind of sounds the same. That was kind of my vision for Onesie, like a three or four piece that was really dynamic. And but both Zach and I kind of come from the DIY punk scene, you know, as kids, and we grew up in it. I think we really wanted to get back to sort of like when we play live, it tends to get pretty noisy and chaotic. I mean, the songs are still there, but we really just enjoy. We want to have a lot of fun and kind of go off and be loud. So I'd say a lot of that kind of typical punk hardcore stuff is an influence. I mean, I'd say songwriting wise, I really like bands like, I mean, like I said, I like the Britpop stuff a lot, like Blur, Pulp, The Smiths, Suede. They're all a huge influence on me. Big Star is obviously a big influence. You know what I thought of the other day, and I was actually listening to like a greatest hits compilation of theirs, and I was like, oh, I forgot how much this really like sunk in with me was the Figs, who you probably know.
Yes.
Yes. So when I went to school in Albany, when I first got there, they were sort of in their heyday, and everyone was like, oh, they're amazing, I'll check them out. I saw them a bunch in like the 95, 96.
They're still going strong, the Figs. They're still going strong.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I saw them maybe like 6 or 7 years ago in a small club, and I was like, they're just freaking amazing. Like, their songwriting is still so tight and so good, and it's never, like, all their records are kind of within that, you know, trio kind of loud rock format, but they're never boring. Their songwriting's always great. I like them a lot. I don't know, you know, I'm also kind of limited. Like, I don't have like a huge vocal range, so I tend to sort of make up for that with like a lot of guitar solos.
Well, I was going to bring that. I was going to mention that one of the things that really turned me on, but with the album, was you have such great intros. I mean, the intros to a lot of these songs are just, for me, they're like wonderfully iconic. I mean, I love Pillow Sale has this terrific, you know, almost like a Posies meets Nirvana vibe throughout that intro, and then it gets into the song. It's just really wonderful.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, no, I definitely, that's, Pillow Sale is definitely kind of it's a drop D grunge banger for sure. I like heaviness too. So even though, you know, a lot of it, I stick to kind of typical chord progression. I do like riffs in there, and there are definitely tasty riffs in there. Because, you know, in no band that I have played in before was I really, because I was like sort of not the guy totally in charge, was I allowed to be as sort of blatantly cock rock as I can be in one scene. That's really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You have a favorite song or a song that has like a deeper meaning you want to get into?
Yeah, favorite song. Let me look at the track list right now. Maybe, I mean, the first single we put out was Ballad of the Boomerang. And I really like the way that one turned out. I think that song kind of touches on all the different stuff that Onesie's done. The meaning of that is, I mean, I think I kind of stitched together lyrics, you know, to bring up Malcolmus again. You're never really sure exactly what he's singing about, but usually there's like two or three lines that you're just like, oh, wow, that really connects with like a situation I've been in. And in that one, I think I wrote it around the time of Hurricane Sandy, actually.
Wow.
Just walking around the rubble. I was like two blocks from the water line in Greenpoint, and I just remember going out the next day. And yeah, there's like a line about taping windows for the storm. You know, it's just a lot of these songs kind of relate to being like an adult living in the city and the sort of stuff you have to put up with. And, you know, the balance of living here and trying to have like a job, a creative life, a relationship, whatever, all that stuff is addressed. So yeah, kind of maybe Ballad of the Boomerang kind of pulls all that stuff together.
Yeah, I think it's a great song too. I mean, I couldn't find a bad song on this album. I liked, you know, just about everything and the way everything sort of came out. And what's interesting, have you been playing a lot locally in on the Brooklyn scene, or where are you touring with another band, or how's the tour working?
We, you know, leading up to the record, we did kind of plan for May and June to be pretty busy, and I think we're just kind of winding down. We did play a ton of shows in June, and we actually played our first out-of-town shows just this past weekend. Speaking of Albany, we played there, we played Boston, New London, Connecticut, and we just played a Brooklyn show last night. But, you know, I mean, we play Brooklyn probably an average of, I mean, we'll take months off here and there, or like, you know, a series of months, but we definitely average at least a show a month. So we're around, and, you know, we're all kind of in the late 30s plus zone. So it's kind of balanced. We're probably not going on like a 2-month tour of the U.S. anytime soon, though. Who knows, you know, now that this record is out, I think give it a little time to maybe seep into the consciousness of human beings, and maybe that could be possible. But right now, it's still pretty much a local thing.
All right, cool. I mean, tell me a little bit about, like, your songwriting process. I know it sounds like these songs basically took a couple years to, like, actually come together. Do you come up with, like, lyrics and concept first, or do you come up, do the instrumentation first, and then you sort of fit the lyrics into the instrumental music?
Yeah, it's definitely more, I think, like a lot of lyric writers, you wind up keeping like a notepad file on your smartphone or whatever, and you just kind of jot down things for the day. But rarely do I start with a lyric and then write music around it. Like, it's usually, I've been pretty rigorous. Once I got Pro Tools maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And once you have a tool like that, it's really great to just sit down and you can kind of put together a song in just like a couple hours, really.
Wow.
So I tend to write the music first and then kind of pull out lyrics that fit with it, which I think is probably more typical of someone like me, who's like more inclined to start with a guitar and less inclined to start with a vocal, you know? But what I've found is that a great tool for writing melodies is just, you know, the guitar itself. Like, once you actually have a chord progression and I write a bass line and I kind of program the beat, I'll just write a vocal line on guitar, and you know, you're usually not. I kind of, you know, I think I heard recently, like, you know, what set Fugazi apart from, or Minor Threat apart from other punk bands, is that Ian MacKaye could sing two notes instead of one. You know, like, I think I kind of start there with the basics, and then I'm kind, and then I kind of wiggle in some more interesting notes, and then, you know, as time goes on, you get the song in your head, and if it's good enough, I think the more, you know, where the melody needs to go will become pretty obvious. And, you know, most of the songs that we write tend to be, you know, 2.5 minutes, not really breaking 3 minutes. So some of the songs are a little more jammy, but they're pretty compact and they're pretty easy to write. It's usually just, you know, verse, chorus, bridge.
Right. I mean, like, that's the basic, you know, formula of a great power pop song. It's like, you know, the 2 minutes where that chorus and that bridge just, you know, hook you in and drag you in and just doesn't leave your head. It's just a great formula for doing great music. Well, tell me, I know it's early because you just came out with this album, but do you have other songs, you know, ready for Onesie Part 2? Or?
Oh, yeah. I was actually just working on one like 45 minutes ago. I think I've got 25 done.
Wow.
So the next album will be very soon. In fact, because the lead up to this one was kind of drawn out, we actually started playing in like 2013, like mid 2013, and really didn't get around to finishing this record until pretty recently and putting it out like, you know, 3.5 years after the band started. For me, that's really slow. So I think we'll want to follow up pretty quickly. I'd like to have something out in spring or summer of next year.
All right, that's great. One last question. Who came up with the band name Onesie?
I did, because this is really, it's not really anything clever, but because I was just one person, I literally wrote the word one on the folder when I started, you know, saving demos back in 2008 or so. And then I just wrote Onesie instead of one, just because I thought it would be like easier for my brain to understand, you know, oh, this is something special, this folder. And it just stuck. You know, every band goes through that period where you're trying to combine like two words to get a band name.
Right.
So you're like, oh, like, you know, Fire Horse, or, you know, Dark Tomorrow. Just, you wind up with just total garbage. So we just stuck with Onesie because it means really absolutely nothing, and therefore can be anything.
Right. For a minute, I thought it was like, oh, you're a new dad, so, you know, you're surrounded by onesies.
No. You know, it's funny. Actually, I wound up working in my day job. I wound up working for a company that sold onesies while we were making the record. And so we'd be in meetings. They'd be like, well, what about the onesies? And I, in my mind, it was meaning something else completely. But, I'm not a parent yet. It has no reference to that. It's just something silly.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate the interview, and best of luck on continuing to tour, and maybe next summer we'd love to see you at Power Popaholic Fest. That's right at Bar Matchless.
We've been 100%. Yeah, I live down the street, so we got to play. I love it.
Yeah, so we will definitely want to, you know, keep you there for next year. We penciled you in already. All right.
I'll consider us on the bill.
All right, great. Thanks. Right. Thanks. So, thanks. This is Ben Haberlin from Onesie. And be sure to pick up Leo's Consume, or Leo's Consume, however you want to you want to say it. Pick it up at, you know, it's available everywhere, Amazon, iTunes, I guess, and...
wherever, Spotify, and you can get it on Bandcamp, too, if you actually want the files.
Great. All right, thank you so much, Ben.
Cool. See you later.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.